Can you believe it? It is day 31. I promised myself that I wouldn't cry, but here we are, and it's just so sad. Well, it's kind of happy too, really. I mean, you did it. You made it the whole way through 5K May 2019. Congratulations to you. I assume you either are getting ready to go out for your 5K, or you're doing your 5K, or you've already done it, and you have made it the whole way. Congratulations to you. You rock. Well done. Congratulations to a successful hashtag 5K May 2019. I am Jeff Polin, and welcome back to the 5K Every Day in the Month of May 2019 podcast. Let's get this 31st and final episode started with a song from Polin Band. This is a song called Here I Am, Lord.
Spirit.
Here I am, send me. What a perfect message for the fact that yesterday we wrapped up the Gospels and we jumped into Acts 1 and we read, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And of course, that is a call for us to be willing to go and to be witnesses of what Christ has done in our lives. And yesterday we spoke at length about Peter, as we traveled through the Gospels together in 5K every day in the month of May, scripture reading, we saw Peter deny Jesus three times and four different Gospels, although one of them just talks about him denying him two times, but either way. And then yesterday, as we looked at the Gospel of John, and especially in chapter 21, we saw the beautiful restoration of Peter by Jesus. He was restored and became a braver, bolder, better version of himself. And I hope that has been happening for us this year in 5K May 2019. I hope that we are becoming a stronger, bolder, braver, and better versions of ourselves. I trust that the Holy Spirit of God has been working in us as we have been reading the scripture and growing spiritually, but also getting out there and walking and running and growing physically as well, and hopefully even emotionally and mentally. We have experienced growth this month, and I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of the 5K May 2019 challenge. It has blessed me to be able to enjoy this journey with you. And I hope that it has been a blessing to you as well. If you haven't checked in yet, make sure that you go to the blog, www.jeffpolamusic.com. Check in on the May 30 blog. It would say hashtag 5K May 2019, and then in all caps, check in. Dash May 30, and make sure that you do that. And also, very important, check in tomorrow on the webpage for your very final check-in. It'll be the one where you declare, yes, I did it, and you can claim your prize. So make sure that you log on and check in. And also, if you're interested, on June 1st, there are two really cool things that are happening in the Worcester, Ohio area. The first one is happening actually in Downton, Ohio. The Aruna Run is taking place in Downton. It is a great 5K every year. It is so much fun, and it's a good run for a good cause. So if you go to the Aruna Run, all of your entrance fees basically go towards getting women in India specifically out of human trafficking. It gets them out of the human trafficking trade, and it gives them a job and a place to live. And it's an amazing ministry, an amazing organization, and a really fun run. So what a great way to use the strength that you've acquired here in 5K May by going to the Aruna Run in Downton, Ohio on June 1st. Also, later that evening, in Kidron, Ohio, between Kidron and Orville, at the Riceland Flow Care building, there is the parking lot jam. And if you've been enjoying the Poland Band songs that have been a part of this 5K Every Day of the Month of May podcast, you can come see Poland Band live, because we're going to be at the parking lot jam. It is a completely free event. It is a super fun event, and it's really well done. We'll be there at the parking lot jam. I think it starts at like 4:30 p.m. or something like that, and it goes until dark. And there's a lot of blow-up things for the kids, face painting, little kids games. There's free food, and Poland Band will be there, as long as there will be some other great bands there as well. So don't miss out on that. Also, be paying attention, because I'll be sending out information hopefully pretty soon about the t-shirts. We're going to have a group run, and at that group run, you'll be able to collect your t-shirts in person, or we will end up shipping them to you if you can't make it to the group run. And that will probably happen in July, because we obviously have to print the t-shirts and get them ready. And so be looking for that. That should be showing up in your email, but I'll also be posting in the 5K Every Day in the Month of May Facebook group, as well as on my blog. Okay, enough about that. Let's get back into the daily reading, and let's pick up where we left off in the book of Acts.
Chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. For death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit in the place of honor at my right hand, until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, including the Lord's Supper and a prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. All right, a couple things here from Acts 2. First off, did you notice Peter's boldness? I mean, he is a brand new man. He's not the same guy that we saw in the Gospels. He's been restored. He's been redeemed. He's been set on fire by the Holy Spirit. I mean, he is
really a force to be reckoned with for the kingdom of God. He is a force for good, and he's shining the light of God in a crooked and a depraved, a dark generation. And I love it. I love seeing God's redemptive power at work. And that is definitely the story for Peter here. And it could be our story too. And the second thing that I want us to see here is Peter's words to the people are really pointed. I mean, he is saying, "You crucified him." Over and over again, he is saying, "You crucified him." And I think that's something that we have to wrestle with today, is the reality that Jesus died on the cross, not only for our sins so that we could be forgiven, but the reality is we crucified him. If we were there, more than likely we would have been among the crowd that was shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." We weren't there, but it was still us. And in fact, it may not have been these specific individuals that Peter's addressing here who crucified him, but the point remains, we crucified Christ. Every person who has ever sinned is responsible for the death of Christ. His blood is on your hands. You crucified him. I don't know how you feel about that. That's quite a statement. And that's exactly the statement that Peter's making here. And I want to make it to us as well. You crucified Christ. When you chose your way instead of God's way, you crucified Christ. He didn't die for sinless people. He died for sinful people. Had we never sinned, had we never fallen, we wouldn't have needed a Savior. But we desperately need a Savior because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have to wrestle with this reality that we are responsible for the death of Christ. Now, when the people heard this, it cut them to their core. It cut to their heart. And they said, "Well, what shall we do?" And that's the third thing I want to talk about here. If you're coming to the realization that you crucified Christ, like that's a big deal. Like it is his blood on your hands. You crucified him. And hopefully your response then is the same as these men that Peter's talking to. And they ask, "What then shall we do?" And his response is very, very simple. Repent and believe. Repent. Change the way that you think about your sins. This word repentance is really metanoia in the Greek. It's this idea of changing your mind about things. And so it's, of course, your actions will follow that, but it starts in the mind. It starts with thinking differently. It starts with realizing that every sin that we commit is a sin against God. It's the sin that put Jesus on the cross. And so we're not just hurting ourselves, we're hurting others with our sin. We want to change our minds about that. It's not okay to continue to do the wrong thing. We want to do the right thing because we want to do the loving thing. We want to repent. And most importantly, we want to believe that even though we mess up, that even though we don't get it right, that even though we continue to sin, although we don't want to, we still do, even accidentally. And so we simply believe that Christ's work on the cross was sufficient to cover our sins. Listen, it was his blood on your hands because you crucified Christ. But that blood can also be your redemption. You can either have the blood on your hands, making you guilty before God, or you can have the blood on yourself, making yourself innocent, because his blood shed for us makes us righteous before God. So it's up to you. Do you want his blood on your hands, making you guilty, or do you want his blood to cover your sins and make you innocent before God?
Chapter 3. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said. "What is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you.' Then Moses said, 'Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people.' Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, 'Through your descendants, all the families on the earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways."
So once again, we see a brave new Peter, and I love it. I mean, he is just on fire, like we talked about from the last section. But one of the things I really want to point out here is the fact that the apostles, they no longer have Jesus walking with them, but they do have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "It's better for you that I go, so that I can send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who will teach you, who will guide you, who will fill you." And we really are called to live like Jesus, who himself was flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we have the ability to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we see here from James and John. They are doing the things that Jesus was doing. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but the word Christian, a lot of us, we kind of wear it as a badge of honor, but it was not a badge of honor when it was first uttered. It was actually a derogatory term. The word Christian literally means little Christ. And the idea is that the followers of Christ looked so much like the original, their little Christs. And it was a derogatory statement. It's like, "You look just like that guy that we crucified, man." It was not a compliment. It wasn't intended to be a compliment anyway, but it was a compliment for them. They're like, "Yes, that's what we want to do. We want to look like Jesus." And I think, like, that's a challenge to me. I want to look like Jesus. And we see here from James and John and Peter, specifically from John and Peter, that they are going around, they are healing people like Jesus did. They are preaching like Jesus did. They really are little Christs. I remember when my wife and I were YWAMers, we had this crazy situation happen where one of the girls, we had to do some kind of a drama thing. I did not want to be in the drama, but I submitted and I was in the drama, and my character was a Muslim man whose sister put her faith in Christ. And when I found out about it, I was supposed to basically beat her and throw her around and disown her, which sadly is just depicting the truth that is happening across the world. But when I did this, I was not a very good actor. And so I just kind of, you know, lightly threw the girl around or whatever. And she told me, she said, "Jeff, if you're going to do this, you have to do it real. So really throw me around, really make it look authentic." And so I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And so I, we were doing a program and I grabbed her and I threw her and I twisted her ankle. It was terrible. She heard the thing pop and it was bad. And so then we were getting ready to go overseas and she wasn't even going to be able to go. Because she was on crutches. She wasn't going to be able to make it on the outreach, which was terrible. It was an absolutely terrible thing. And I remember we just thought, well, we need to just pray for her. We need to just lay hands on her. We need to pray for her. And so we just prayed for healing, that she would be healed, that her ankle would be restored, and that that God would allow her to go on this outreach. And I'll never forget, she said that she, while we were praying, she felt like there were just two hands that grabbed her ankle and started massaging it and put the bone back into place, and she was healed. In that moment, while we were praying, the Holy Spirit of God was healing her. And we, through the power of God, were able to do something that I don't think Tylenol was going to accomplish. And the medical world is awesome. Praise God for doctors. Praise God that He works through doctors. But that takes time. And in this situation, she was instantly healed. And I think God still wants to do that kind of stuff today. I think He still wants to show His power today, but He's looking for people who are willing to be brave, who are willing to be bold, and who are willing to trust in Him. And we see that here from Peter and John, and it's a challenge to us. Does God see that? Do the people around us see that through our lives as well?
Chapter 4. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power, or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as the men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there in front of them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, 'Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles.
All right, two final thoughts here as we wrap up 5K every day in the month of May 2019. They come from Acts 4. The first is very, very simple. Acts 4:12. There is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved than the name of Jesus. My prayer for you through this whole challenge, this whole scripture reading time, has been that you could see Jesus clearly. And what I want you to see more clearly than anything else is that Jesus Christ alone is the means by which we can be saved. It is only through faith in Christ that we can be saved from eternal hell, eternal torment. And what we're saved into is a relationship with the God who created us and who loves us and who sustains us and who will be with us, who will love us, who will cherish us, who will care for us throughout all eternity. God created us to be with him, but our sins separate us from God, and those sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So paying the price for sins, Jesus died and rose again so that everyone who trusts in him alone can have eternal life that starts now and lasts forever. He wants to save us from the hell that we're going to and the hell that we're going through right now. There is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved than the name of Jesus. So I pray that you will put your faith in Christ. If you have not already, and I pray that if you have already put your faith in Christ, that this challenge and this walk through the Gospels in the first four chapters of Acts has helped you to fall deeper in love with Jesus. And the second thing from this passage that I want to point out is the fact that when the people saw James and John, they realized they were just everyday average idiots. That's exactly what the Greek says. Idiotas is the word, and it means idiots. These guys, there was nothing special about them, but there was really something special about the one who was living in them and through them, and that can be our story as well. You do not need a college degree. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need to know all the amazing things about God. You just have to be with God, and that's what this passage says. When they saw the boldness of James and John, and they realized they were just everyday average idiots, then they took note and they said, wow, these people have been with Jesus. That is what God is calling us to more than anything else. He's not calling us to more knowledge. He's not calling us to be so smart that we can just overwhelm people with our intellect. He is calling us to be with him. And as we spend time with him, we will continue to be the light of the world that he has caused us to be. We're kind of like glow-in-the-dark stars. I don't know if you remember these from your childhood, but I remember when I was younger, one of my buddies had these glow-in-the-dark stars, and he put them all over his bedroom, and he would keep the light on all day in his bedroom so that at night when he turned the lights out, his stars would just glow like crazy. But by the morning, they weren't glowing that much anymore. You see, they only would glow as they spent time with the light. And that is the truth in our life as well. We're kind of like glow-in-the-dark stars. As we spend time with the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, as we spend time near Jesus, he illuminates us. And then when the darkness sets in, we shine like stars in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation because we've been illuminated, we've been charged up by the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And we become then little lights, lesser lights, who are simply reflecting his glory. And that's what happened with James and John, and that's what Jesus wants to do in your life as well. So may you be a glow-in-the-dark star for this world. I hope this 5K May Challenge has encouraged you, has challenged you, and has in many ways equipped you to be the light of the world that Jesus is calling you to be. Remain in him. Remain in his love. Stay close to Jesus, and you will be charged up so that you can shine your light into the lives of others, especially those who are walking in darkness, who need to see a great light. And that great light is Jesus Christ. I hope you've seen him, and I hope you will point others to him as well. Thank you for being a part of the 5K Every Day in the Month of May 2019 challenge. To send you out once again, here is Poland Band with this truth that we've been talking about throughout the entire month. We are alive to shine.
Our God has made us light, said go shine.